It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Talking all things blue, white. Andrew Bichet is here with me, really, for the next 45 minutes or so.
Yeah, I'm no Greg Pickle.
No Greg Pickle, and I sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's not as good. Dustin Hawkinsmith, we're talking blue-white. We got into all the recruiting stuff. In the previous segment, the atmosphere and that kind of thing. And in a lot of ways, when you're trying to make meaningful takeaways from this weekend, that's up there on the list. So I'm glad we did all that. But I do want to talk about the game, quote-unquote, the scrimmage, the practice, whatever you want to call it, that happened. Blue in 21-10. I'm just going to leave it open-ended for you, Andy. What were one or two things that really jumped off the page to you that you can carry with you going forward?
So there's three things. The first one I'll get out of the way because it's not a carryover or a takeaway.
Hey, we got all the time in the world. We don't have to get anything out of the way. Let's spend time on it.
Let's just say I watched the offensive line wearing blue a lot, and I watched the offensive line wearing white a lot. So I was looking at the offensive line. We'll talk more about that later. The takeaways that jumped out and grabbed me was Penn State is stockpiling talent, and fairly elite talent, at the defensive back position and at the wide receiver position. It was not a great day for the wide receivers, numbers-wise. If you look at the numbers on the box score, you're like, what about that? Tells you that the wide receivers are like, wow. They got them lined up there. And if you're a starting wide receiver and you're getting on the field regularly for Penn State in 2018, you earned it. Because it is not going to be easy. And I'm not saying DeAndre Tompkins is worse or not any good, but that dude's going to have to put in some serious work to get his time on the field like he saw in 17. And I'm not saying he won't. I think he will. But, dude, you got guys barking at your back door. And they are barking loud, hard. They're talented. Their route running is very good. But their route running was good on Saturday, and the defensive backs actually kind of won the battle of the wide receivers versus D-backs. When you talk about defensive backs, I watched very closely at a bunch of them, but I thought they probably have 8 or 9 guys that could play on a Big Ten field. They really legitimately do.
Talking safeties and corners.
Safeties and corners, yeah. And we didn't get to see them all, you know.
Yeah.
And looking at what they had, and I know I disregarded the ones versus twos and blues versus white. I just watched guys ply their trade. And I saw a tremendous amount of good footwork, good positioning, closing speed. I saw a sticky guy that just made my jaw drop just watching him cover for like 6 or 7 straight plays. That would be Tariq Castro Fields. He didn't do anything that wowed the fans if you weren't watching him, but if you just watched him cover, I was like, oh my gosh. Him and John Reed together and throwing Imani Ariarie, I just could not believe.
You can't see Andy right now, but he's got both his hands on his cheeks.
I could not believe how skilled and how talented Tariq Castro Fields is as a pure cover. I'm not talking closing speed, ball, any of that stuff. Just the way he works his feet, moves his hips, positions himself, moves in and out as a corner, looks like he's going to stick on you tight and then backs off. It's at a very high level for a kid who's a true sophomore.
I mean, so those he's going to be a true sophomore. As we're sitting here today, he's listed as a true sophomore on their roster, but he's still a second semester freshman.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's worth saying, too. Those are the two positions I think that I would want to start with also. And let's start with the cornerbacks. Touch on the safeties then, too. Tariq Castro Fields, I think he gets credited a lot of times for being the guy that, you know, maybe, I don't want to say force Penn State's hand, but Lamont Wade, they needed to do something with him to make sure he got on the field. Tariq Castro Fields' presence kind of worked against Wade in some ways, but I think it's Zach McPherson who really established himself as, okay, we got plenty here.
Yeah.
Let's find a unique role for Lamont's unique skill set, which is somewhat linebacker, safety, corner. Like he's that hybrid honey badger kind of kid. And I think that that role will come to fruition. I think that, you know, if people are down on Lamont Wade because he didn't win the starting safety job yet, I wouldn't worry about that so much because he is still early in learning that whole thing. And he's going to be asked to do a lot. And to your point that you made before we started recording, that you saw a lot of 4-2-5 from
Penn State. I did.
That is going to be, I think, Lamont Wade's bread and butter because he is a powerhouse that you can pull into the box if you need to. He's willing to put his head down. He's going to hit people. But he can also turn and run with guys. It can be a wide receiver. It can be a running back. It can be a tight end. He's gonna run with guys, and I think he can cover. I think he can play against the run. That's what you're going to see. But I do think that Zach McPherson, who I think is the first name off James Franklin's tongue after this game, really showed a lot all spring long. And if he's your number four cornerback, and if he's as ready as he looked to be, you're in good shape.
You're number four. That guy's your number four corner. That's amazing.
So as a high school prospect, it's funny watching him and kind of remembering what he looked like as a high school kid.
Right.
You see a lot of the same stuff, except he's bigger, stronger, more intelligent on the football field. And one of the things that Franklin talked about was consistency and confidence. And he looked awfully consistent and awfully confident to me. He was sticky, too.
He didn't put himself in a bad spot all day. And they kind of went after him a little bit.
Yeah.
And
he had his chances. Yeah.
He was in the right spot all day. And if you go back to Lamont Wade, I want to talk about this a little bit more. The Lamont Wade factor of not winning the starting safety job is actually a benefit. It's a twofold benefit to me for Penn State. And I think you saw some of it in the blue-white game when we were talking about 4-2-5. Is you saw both sides of Lamont Wade. You saw the run support. You saw the ability to recognize where the play was going and impact it. But you also saw the speed and the ability to make a play when he stripped the ball. I mean, KJ Hamler is not slow.
Right.
And that was a one-on-one battle downfield, and Lamont Wade dominated the one-on-one battle. And he was right there with him. It's not like he was getting run past and Hamler had to do something to put Lamont Wade in a position to be successful. Lamont was right there with him. The other thing that goes into this is they don't have a pure middle linebacker, quote unquote. They don't have one, right? They're looking at options. They're trying to figure it out. And I think they're figuring it out more and more during the spring. They figured a lot out. So if you put the combination, no pure here, but we have this element here that we know needs to be on the field, and it looks like the two of them could be something that would work, then you go with it. Because you don't hide the talent on the bench. The only way that you get the talent, the experience, is obviously to put it on the field. Why not? I mean, what I saw from, you know, we'll get to linebacker in a little bit, but what I saw from the combination of, you know, Micah Parsons, Ellis Brooks, Jan Johnson, you know, I would throw Jesse Lucchetta in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that kid did not look lost playing for the white team and wearing number 40. What you saw both sides of the ball running on that combo with the fifth defensive back in there, look good to me.
If you want to be agile and mobile and versatile as a defense, Penn State's got all these interesting pieces. I don't think they're in an ideal position when it comes to inexperience, but there's a whole lot more dynamic athletes in the mix now to play, and I would absolutely put Jesse Lucchetta in that mix.
You could put Jonathan Sutherland in there too, as playing the sort of the same role.
I loved the way that he carried himself
in the same role as sort of Lamont Wade.
Yeah,
could you see him filling that role?
Yeah.
Dude, they got guys there. I think they're building a depth chart that looks like a more of a 4-2-5 defense. They've got defensive backs to burn. I mean, I watch Garrett Taylor very closely as a safety. Because it's a position change. He was a highly touted prospect who couldn't get on the field, you know, got injured and got a little bit behind the eight ball, sort of the Michael Bennett thing. He got behind the eight ball. But now it's his time and he's making a position change. I'm sorry, but I did not see anything that told me that there should be pause for concern when it came to – I just was like, okay, that kid's – he can play.
He earned it. 100%.
He earned that starting spot, but now let's see if he can play a little bit. And just a little bit in a scrimmage, I'm like, yeah, that's not going to be a problem at all. Because you could tell there's a problem. You know, a little bit of Nick Scott – I saw a little bit of problem there, but it wasn't anything to make me go like, they need to, you know, put four or five safeties out there. And where's Aaron Monroe? I mean, he's been passed. That's very clear from this, that for all the talent, football IQ still matters in this Penn State defense, and he got passed. Their defensive backfield is going to be, except for John Reed is and a little bit of Lamont Wade, it's going to be extremely inexperienced.
Yeah.
But you're not going to want to face that in week 7, 8, 9. I swear to gosh, they're going to be, talent-wise, they're going to be right there.
And Garrett Taylor is a good example of why you shouldn't get too carried away with Lamont Wade, because he needed a little bit of time, too. And Garrett Taylor is a kid who played cornerback and safety in high school.
Yeah.
The idea of playing safety was not foreign to him, and nope. It still took a couple years. Nick Scott still took – I mean, running back, he spent, I don't know, 5 minutes at cornerback, and now he's a safety. It's an interesting mix of guys, and you know, you mentioned the linebackers there, too. Who'd you walk away more encouraged about, Jesse Lucado or Micah Parsons? Because they are different players. But I think if I'm a fan, I want to see both these guys on the field now. I want to see both of them play as true freshmen. Let's take our chances with the guys who might not know and understand the scheme enough to commit it all to muscle memory,
yeah,
but are so good. Like, Jesse Lucado just knows how to be in the right spot. He's also very, very aggressive and physical, and he's got that nasty streak. You saw a little bit. It's his own teammates.
Right.
Micah Parsons, electric off the edge. Unbelievably fast off the edge. There was that one play where he buzzed the tower. He just ran right past the quarterback. In a game, that was taking somebody's head off.
That was a loop blitz, by the way. He came from the inside and circled.
Yeah.
He came from the inside and
circled. Tell me that's not a
weapon
that'll make Penn State better. I get it. Losing experience all the way up the middle of the defense.
It matters.
It's going to show up. You're going to have, you know, Micah Parsons not have the right assignment, sometimes not be in the right spot, over pursue, under, whatever. But there's going to be plays like that where he can maybe break games open with a forced fumble or whatever.
Yeah, we'll talk about the linebackers more, because we're running short on time this time. I'll say this. There were two plays that I saw that you say that Micah Parsons has a learning curve. Let's talk about it. He got caught inside on a run, and Michael Bennett sealed him really nicely, by the way.
Yeah.
And on that touchdown, he was a step late and a dollar short recognizing what was happening, but he almost still made the play because he's that blessed and gifted. And that was something that he'll develop and get better at. But electricity-wise, oh, boy.
You saw some good stuff, but some teaching points, too. I think that's what you wanted from the game. All right, we got more coming on this blue-white special. We're going to keep talking about it after this break. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.